Hi everyone, this is Audrey, and today I am reading a short story written by E.B. White in 1957, and the name of the story is A Report in Spring. I bought a puppy last week in the outskirts of Boston and drove him to Maine in a rented Ford that looked like a Sculpin. There had been talk in our family of getting a sensible dog this time, and my wife and I had gone over the list of sensible dogs and had even ventured once or twice into the company of sensible dogs. A friend had a litter of Labradors, and there were other opportunities. But after a period of uncertainty and waste motion, my wife suddenly exclaimed one evening, "Oh, let's just get a dachshund." She had had a glass of wine, and I could see that the truth was coming out. Her tone was one of exasperation laced with affection. So I engaged a black male without further ado. For the long ordeal of owning another dachshund, we prepared ourselves by putting up for a night at the Boston Ritz in a room overlooking the public garden, where from our window we could gaze, perhaps for the last time, on a world of order and peace. I say, for the last time, because it occurred to me early in the proceedings that this was our first adoption case in which there was a strong likelihood that the dog would survive the man. It had always been the other way around. The garden had never seemed so beautiful. We were both up early the next morning for a final look at the fresh, untroubled scene. Then we checked out hastily, sped to the kennel, and claimed our prize, who was the grandson of an animal named Direct Stretch of the Walls. He turned out to be a good traveler, and except for an interruption caused by my wife's falling out of the car and gardener, the journey went very well. At present, I am a sojourner in the city again. But here in the green warmth of a city backyard, I see only the countenance of spring in the country. No matter what changes take place in the world, or in me, nothing ever seems to disturb the face of spring. The smelts are running in the brooks. We had a mess for Monday lunch, brought to us by our son, who was fishing at 2 a.m. At this season, a smelt brook is the nightclub of the town, and when the tide is a late one, smelting is for the young, who like small hours and late society. No rain has fallen in several weeks. The gardens are dry, the road to the shore is dusty. The ditches, which in May are usually swollen to bursting, men are not allowed in the streams. Pond fishing from a boat is still permissible. The landscape is lovely to behold, but the hot, dry wind carries the smell of trouble. The other day we saw the smoke of a fire over in the direction of the mountain. On Tuesday, in broad daylight, the coon arrived, heavy with young, to take possession of the hole in the tree, but she found another coon in possession, and there was a grim fight high in the branches. The new tenant won, or so it appeared to me, and our old coon came down the tree in defeat and hustled off into the woods to examine her wounds and make other plans for her confinement. I was sorry for her, as I am for any who are evicted from their haunts by the younger and stronger, always a sad occasion for man or beast. By day, the goldfinches dip in yellow flight. By night, the frogs sing the song that never goes out of favor. We open the lower sash of the window in the barn loft, and the swallows are already building, but mud for their nests is not so easy to come by as in most springtimes. One afternoon, I found my wife kneeling at the edge of her perennial border on the north side, trying to disengage Achillea the Pearl from Coral Bell. "If I could afford it," she said bitterly, "I would take every damn bit of Achillea out of this border." She is a woman in comfortable circumstances, arrived at through her own hard labor, and this sudden burst of poverty and her inability to indulge herself in a horticultural purge startled me. I was so moved by her plight and her unhappiness that I went to the barn and returned with an edger, and we spent a fine, peaceable hour in the pretty twilight, wrapping Achillea over the knuckles and saving Coral Bell. One never knows what images one is going to hold in memory, returning to the city after a brief orgy in the country. I find this morning that what I most vividly and longingly recall is the sight of my grandson and his little sunburnt sister returning to their kitchen door from an excursion with trophies of the meadow clutched in their hands, she with a couple of violets and smiling, he serious and holding dandelions, strangling them in a responsible grip. Children hold spring so tightly in their brown fists, just as grown-ups, who are less sure of it, hold it in their hearts. The end.